U.S. credit card 90-plus day delinquency rate hits 13.1%, a 15-year high. U.S. households are falling behind on credit card payments at a pace not seen since the aftermath of the global financial crisis. Data shared by Coin Bureau on May 23, 2026, puts the share of credit card accounts 90 or more days delinquent at 13.1%, the highest reading in 15 years. The figure landed during a week when Bitcoin clawed back to $76,694, so 1.8% on the day as of May 24, 2026, and the crypto fear and greed index sat at 38, still in fear territory. The headline number matters because serious delinquency is a lagging indicator, not a leading one. By the time an account crosses the 90-day mark, the borrower has typically missed three statement cycles, watched their APR repriced into the high 20s, and exhausted the soft tools lenders use to keep an account current. The 13.1% reading means roughly 1 in 8 active credit card accounts in the U.S. is in that bucket right now. The reading sits above the 2009 stress peak. The last time serious credit card delinquency rates ran this hot was the back end of the 2008 to 2010 cycle, when unemployment was still above 9% and lenders were aggressively charging off subprime portfolios. The current backdrop looks different on the surface. Unemployment is far lower. Wage growth has been positive for several years, and consumer balance sheets in aggregate are healthier than they were in 2009. The distribution is the part that has changed. Aggregate household wealth keeps reaching new highs because of equity and housing gains concentrated in the top deciles, while card balances and revolving debt costs are heaviest in the bottom half of the income distribution. The 13.1% reading is consistent with what New York Fed quarterly household debt data has been signaling for several quarters, where serious delinquency on cards has been grinding higher even as other credit categories stabilized. Card APRs are the squeeze average credit card APRs in the U.S. are still hovering above 20%, a level that compounds quickly when a balance rolls. A $5,000 carried balance at 22% accrues roughly $1,100 in interest over 12 months before any new spending. For a household already missing minimum payments, that math turns a manageable arrears into a runaway 1 inside 2 billing cycles. The Federal Reserve has been signaling a slow path on policy easing this year, which keeps the underlying cost of funds for issuers high. Issuers, in turn, are tightening underwriting on the marginal borrower, rather than cutting rates on existing books. The result is that borrowers in the bottom half of credit scores are facing the worst of both worlds: high carry cost on existing balances and shrinking access to new lines. The crypto card read across crypto cards do not solve the underlying income versus cost of living problem driving these delinquencies. They are not credit instruments in most cases. The dominant product is a prepaid or debit card that draws from a user's own balance, either stablecoins, BTC, ETL, or a basket of holdings. There is no APR because there is no revolving credit. That positioning becomes more relevant when traditional cards are pricing more risk into every dollar. A user who is paying off a card balance at 22% has an incentive to switch routine spend onto something that does not generate new revolving debt, even if the crypto card itself comes with a 1-3% load. Cards like the Gnosis Pay card, Bleep MasterCard, and Tria Virtual card sit on this side of the design, drawing from self-custody wallets without a credit line attached. The flip side is that a few crypto card products do mirror traditional credit structures. The Coinbase One credit card and Gemini credit card are revolving credit lines that happen to pay rewards in crypto. They carry the same APR risk as any other U.S. card. In a 13.1% delinquency environment, those products are not insulated from the macro picture just because the rewards are denominated in BTC or ETH. Stablecoin-funded spend is the asymmetric play. The cleanest hedge against credit card stress is to spend money you already have. Stablecoin-funded cards like the Bleep MasterCard, Gnosis Pay card, and several variants on the Redot Pay and Cash products draw from USDC, USDT, or EURC balances at the point of sale. The user is effectively spending dollars they hold on chain, with no revolving balance, no interest, and no late fee mechanic. This is a structural rather than promotional point. A household that converts part of its routine, Card spend to stablecoin rails removes one of the most expensive failure modes in personal finance, the compounding interest spiral on a missed payment. It does not generate wealth, but it stops a specific kind of bleeding.